Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to invite you to go with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight, the 10th chapter. And here's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about this. You know, we talk about prayer, and I have series on prayer. I got one I preach about every year. I don't think I did this year. I'd have to look back at my notes and see, but I don't think so. Don't know that I will. But prayer is important to our life. We talk about how to pray, which is important to know. You know, you got to know how to pray, right way to pray. But tonight, what I want to talk about tonight is what you do after you've prayed. So I'm going to talk about after you've prayed, because that's real important too, that you get this right, because if you don't get this right, you're not going to receive what you prayed for. So let's talk about this. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." How many know we got a warfare? How many know that? Yeah. How many know you got it? You better know that, because you got to be prepared. Amen. Yeah. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And now let me just say, you know, I went through all the warfare thing. I wasn't into it. But, you know, back in the 90s, we had a lot of teaching about spiritual warfare and pulling down principalities and powers in the heavens and so forth like that. And I'm not saying there's not any truth to that, but I'm just simply saying it got way out of bounds, and people would rent airplanes to fly up high to get closer to the principalities and powers. But how many know the name of Jesus is all you need? You don't need a 747. And, you know, they would go to different countries, and we're going to pull down the spirit of Diana over there in Ephesus and all that. I remember all this. And, you know, nothing changed, because it's the gospel that changes people.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, prayer is important, yeah. But really our warfare isn't necessarily up there in the heavenlies, although there's some value to that. I'm not taking all that away. But I'm simply saying the warfare Paul's talking about here is in your mind.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out that after you pray, that's where the battle is going to be at. Is in your mind, where the devil's going to try to talk you out of what you prayed about.
Yeah.
How many have ever experienced that before, where, you know, he immediately comes and tries to steal your prayer? You know how he's a thief of the word? Well, he's a thief of prayer too, and he'll try to steal your prayer. Amen. And so we have a warfare. So how many know we got to be ready to battle? If we're going to receive what everything God has for us, you know, we're called to be good soldiers. Amen. And so there's a warfare there. And he says, for the verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And I want you to notice the language Paul used and get the imagery here of what he's talking about. He's talking about pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So he talks about pulling down, he talks about casting down, and he talks about bringing into captivity. So those are all kind of violent terms. This is warfare. And so if we don't understand this, that, you know, we can't just take it easy. You know what I'm saying? We got a fight on our hands. Now, we're victorious, you know, because the battle's already won, but we still have to deal with the devil. And in this area of your mind, this is where it's at when you pray, is the devil will go to attack your mind and try to get you to give up. Hebrews talks about this in Hebrews 12:3. It says that talking about people feigning in their minds, feigning in their minds. And let me just read that scripture. You don't need to turn there, but it's not quite coming to me the way it should. But it says, "For consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Now, the King James says minds, but honestly, the word there is your souls. And that's what it's talking about. There's a word in the New Testament in the Greek for minds, and there's a word for souls. Now, they can be used interchangeably. There's not an issue with that. But literally, this should say your soul. And it's important. The reason why that's important, because your mind's one thing. Your soul is something else. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So when you pray, the devil will come against your mind and your will and your emotions to try to talk you out of what you've prayed. Have you ever prayed and the devil said that wasn't good enough? Am I the only one? Gosh, I feel like a dummy. Am I the only one that you prayed that wasn't good enough? That wasn't long enough. That wasn't I don't know the word I'm looking for, but that wasn't flowery enough. It wasn't eloquent enough. It just wasn't powerful enough. I don't find any of those terms in the Bible where but the Bible talks about praying an effective prayer. And what is an effective prayer? Well, the Bible, a few verses before it says the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. It tells us what an effective prayer is. It says the prayer of faith will save the sick. So effective prayer is a prayer prayed in faith. Amen. Years ago, I was getting ready to preach at this church, and I'm sitting on the front row, and they had on their pulpit, they had a sign sitting up there. They had like a pulpit with wings on it, and they had a sign sitting on one of the wings, and it said, prayer changes things. Well, I believe that. I mean, believe that. But, you know, as I sat there and looked at it, something started coming to me. I said, well, wait a minute. You know, prayer does change things, but so I'm not nitpicking, but I'm just, I want to look at it the way the Lord showed it to me that night. I'm just sitting there waiting to preach. He says, it's not prayer alone that changes things. Buddhists pray. Hindus pray. It's believing prayer that changes things. And I thought, well, that's right, because a lot of prayers don't change anything because they're not right. They're not prayed. They're prayed amiss. They're not effective. Amen. And so, how many know? And James even said like this: you pray amiss, and you pray that you may consume it upon your lust. How many know that your prayer life probably shouldn't just be about you all the time?
That's right.
It's okay to pray for you because Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Remember the Lord's Prayer? So it's okay. But how many know you probably shouldn't be the main focal point? Amen. Matter of fact, I think there's a little more humility could come back to some in the church. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got so much of this, I'm apostle this, I'm prophet this, I'm the latest, greatest thing that's come along. And, you know, it just makes you want to puke. I just got an email just a few, I don't know, it was maybe a couple of weeks ago. I'm on a mailing list, email list, with a guy who used to be the dean of Rhema. I'll leave him unnamed, but he was the dean of Rhema. And he, I don't really know. I mean, I've met him. We've had lunch together one time years ago, but we don't have a conversation or talk with one another. But anyway, I'm on his mailing list. He's got a great ministry, writes a lot of books. And so he said, he was talking about one time being in a meeting with Brother Hagin, and he said, man, the anointing to preach was so strong. He said, it was an outstanding teaching service that night. He said, it was just over the top. The glory fell. He said, really, nothing like, you know, signs or wonders happened, but just the anointing was so strong. He said, it was one of the strongest anointings I'd ever heard Brother Hagin preach under. And of course, he'd been in many meetings with Brother Hagin. So he says, I said something to Brother Hagin about it after service. And he says, Brother Hagin says, I just felt like I didn't do enough. I just felt like it wasn't enough. And I thought, wow. How many know we could use some of that humility? Yeah. And how many know your prayer life doesn't need to just be about you? Amen. Is that all right? So we have, when we pray and we are believing for something, we are praying about something, you got to know there's going to be warfare against your mind. That's why one of the things Paul says here, we got to pull down strongholds. See, that's something that's got a root inside of you. You know, that it's a stronghold. It's not a. How many know you need to measure what you believe with the Bible?
Right.
Amen. You need to measure what you do with the Bible. How you think with the Bible.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to measure it all with the word. You need to cast down imaginations. You know, like you get the picture of pulling a rope around and and pulling it down. Remember when Saddam Hussein fell and they put that rope or whatever it was on the statue of him and pulled it down in Baghdad? That's what we got to do, pull down those strongholds and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you got to go arrest some thoughts that don't line up with the Word.
That's right.
Amen? So I know how this is. I mean, you know, I assume we're all the same. I don't think there's any of us here are super saints. And we don't ever have any issues. We don't have any problems. We don't ever have to deal with the devil. I know how this is. You go to pray for something and the devil will go critiquing your prayer. You know, I've had, and I tell you what I've seen, a lot of times I've prayed prayers for people. I thought, well, that wasn't much of that, and they got delivered. And I've had times in prayer lines where I just felt the glory of God, the anointing of God, prayed for somebody, and they didn't get a thing. We had a good time. Oh, I did anyway. I don't know if they did. Not. And I prayed for people. It was just dry as dust, and they got delivered. I don't have this figured out. Do you? It's called faith. Amen. Amen. You know, I prayed for people and they got healed and I'm like, I didn't feel anything. And I prayed for people. I felt something. I prayed for a woman, laid my hands on her here. She had an ear issue. I don't know if she was deaf in one ear. I can't remember now. But when I laid my hands on her, she goes, whoa, there's fire going in my ear. I'm like, well, I wonder where that came from. Because it didn't come from me. I didn't feel it. But it doesn't matter whether we feel anything or not, does it? It's what the Word says, amen? So here's the thing. So there's going to be this warfare in our minds, and we got to fight the warfare. We got to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, bring into captivity every thought. Those thoughts that come to you saying it's not going to happen, it's not going to come to pass, you got to bring those down. Because if you don't, they'll end up negating your prayer. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I believe it is. 1 Chronicles 16. So, you know, prayer is just, it's more than just, just showing up. You got to put some forethought into it. You know, you got to find what does the Bible say? Remember what Jesus said? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll have whatever you will, whatever you ask. Amen. But how many know? It's not about God, it's about you. If you, not if God, because God's already done it. If you do the right things. If you. Hallelujah. Now look at this. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15 says, be ye mindful. Now look at that word. Break it up for me, brother. Mind and full, right? Have your mind full. Be always mindful of his covenant, the word which he hath commanded to 1,000 generations. So what's supposed to be in our mind when we go to pray? His word. The covenant, amen?
Yeah.
Remember, the Bible calls it talks about part of our armor is the helmet of salvation. You ever read that?
Mm-hmm.
What is the helmet of salvation? Well, I see it like this. It's knowledge of your redemption. Your salvation, your head, you have knowledge. You know, the helmet covers your head. You have knowledge of your salvation. And would you take time to find out what belongs to me? You put that in your mind. When we go to prayer, you put that in your mind. Right? See, for if you're believing God for say you're praying for healing and you get done and you feel a pain, that's a challenge. You're going to have to deal with your mind. Amen. All right. So you know, I've told you a story before, but I've never forgot this. I went to pray for a lady who had cancer. She was about in her 50s, 50-ish something. And so, you know, still young. And so I go to pray for her. She was in the hospital here in town. And I go to pray for her. And when I walked into her room, she had by her bed on the bedstand there, she had a book on heaven. Now, her cancer diagnosis was like terminal. This was going to end her life. And when I saw that book about heaven, I thought we have a problem. Because this lady's reading about heaven. And when you read about heaven, what do you want to do?
Go.
When you read about Hawaii, what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. So when you read about heaven, you want to go to heaven. Now, that's good, but she's 50 years old. She's a mother. She's a grandmother. She doesn't need to be in heaven yet. Amen. Well, maybe God needed her in heaven. Look, I think he's got things covered up there without you and I showing up. Yeah. How many believe that? Yeah. I don't think he really needs us to show up. Say, boy, I'm glad you made it. We were having problems up here. Whew! Thank God. Now, how many, I don't think that's happening. Yeah, thank myself. I said, thank God. That'd be thank myself. Now, how many know that's not so? How many know that? That's just religion talking to you. So, when I saw that, I thought, boy, I have a problem because this lady's reading about heaven. And what she, now, heaven's part of our redemption, yeah. Right? Yeah. But you got to kind of, you got to pinpoint it when you have a need. You need healing. How many know? You better be reading, you better be reading about healing. Yeah. And there should have been, the book on her table should have been Christ the Healer. Yeah. Or her Bible open to healing scriptures or something. Because that's what she needs right now. That's her biggest need. So we got to concentrate. You know, if you got something wrong with you, you know, if you have a specific thing wrong with you, they target that specific thing. If you have cancer, they don't go, they go, I'll take a couple aspirins. How many know they don't do that? Because that's for headaches. I don't know if there's anything wrong with aspirin. I don't know. But you got to target it, right? You got to target it, you know. You know, if you have, you know, some kind of heart problem, I mean, they're going to target that. Amen. See, you know, they're going to target. Well, the word's the same way. If you got an issue, you need to target it with that particular part of the Bible. You need to go find it. See, there's promises. The Bible says that we are partakers of his divine nature by the promises, see. So you got to go find what do I need right now? What do I need right now? You know, people sometimes need certain things. I've told you a story about this was a minister. He's in heaven now. But his daughter goes into the bank. She's 30-some years old. She goes into the bank, do some banking, and just falls over. I mean, they have to call an ambulance and take her to the emergency room, hospital, whatever. They take her in there, and they found out why she fell over was her potassium levels were low. All she needed to do is eat a couple bananas. That's it. She was missing something. She had to target that, see? See, if you're missing something in your life, you got to target it with the Word. You got to go find the right scriptures. Amen. If you're battling depression, you're battling oppression. You don't go out. You don't meditate on the scripture. Judas went out and hung himself. You get a little bit more specific than that. That's not the scripture. How about with everlasting joy in Isaiah? How about the joy of the Lord is our strength? How about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? How about finding some scriptures on joy? I don't think people understand that the Word works this way sometimes, but it works this way. You target it. Amen. Yeah. So you got to target it. You got to fill your mind with what you need out of God's covenant, out of His Word. Right. Amen. Amen. You know, you're studying a course at college. You got to fill your mind with what you're trying to learn. I remember when I went back to college, when I went to college, it didn't last long. But, you know, I did go after I'd been out of school for 5 years. I just remember one class. I'll never forget this class. I was not a math guy. I don't know. I mean, I could add, you know, and all that and stuff like that. Now I need a calculator. I remember the flashcards when his kids always got one times one. I always got that one right. Always got the ones right. Twos were pretty simple. But I remember, I don't know where it was, fourth grade, fifth grade, what was. I think it might have been fourth grade. We got it all the way up to 12. And we had these memorized, see. We had to memorize. They weren't in our heart. They were in our head. And so after you got out of school, you know, modern, in those days, they didn't have calculators, you know. But They had, you know, adding machines, that kind of thing. But, you know, calculators came along, so you didn't need that. But, I remember I had to have algebra class when I was in high school. I think it was a sophomore was my last one. And that was it, man. I didn't sign up for any more. I put in my time. I kind of got it figured out. I never did know why. You know, I can't even remember, like, five times Y equals Z. I'm thinking these people are mixing their numbers and their letters. They don't know what's going on. And so anyway, but I finally, it took me a while, I got it figured out how to do that. But then I hadn't had it for 5 years. And then one of my first classes in college, you know, I had the psychology class, which was one of the dumbest classes I've ever sat in my life. Just being honest, for me it was. I mean, it's 8:30 in the morning, I'm learning about the left side of a monkey's brain. I don't care. I don't care about no monkey's brain. I just want what I come here for. I'm not going to work on monkeys. But anyway, be it as it may, I went to algebra class, college algebra. And, of course, they just take off like you know what's going on. And the only thing I got out of that class that night is good evening class. He might as well have been speaking in tongues. The rest of the Russian or whatever. I'm like lost. I'm thinking, man, I don't... I'm 20 years old and I'm too old for this. Amen. But you got to feel you got a target. So you got a target. See, if you're going to school, what do? You target. That's the way it should be. That's why vocational schools are becoming so popular in the United States, because they target something. They don't fill your mind with a lot of useless stuff that you don't need. But you have to pay for it anyway. I'm not knocking college. I'm just making a point. That's why they're becoming so popular, because, you know, they teach you how to fix a toilet. I mean, all I want to know is how to fix a toilet. I don't need psychology 101. I'm not going to kiss the toilet, hug the toilet, or counsel the toilet. I'm going to plumb the toilet. It doesn't take a real college education to get a plunger and you know, do the thing, you know. So, you understand, you got to fill your mind, right? And when I saw this lady had that book, it was a good book. There wasn't anything wrong with this book. But the problem was, she's about to die. She doesn't have many more days left on this planet in the natural. And so, when I saw it, I thought, she's not really preparing to be healed. She's preparing to go to heaven. And that's where she went. I'm sure she wasn't disappointed. Heaven's better than Evansville. But the point is, I don't think she should have went. I'm not her judge, but I don't think it was the will of God for her to go yet. I don't think God's mad at her. I don't think he's upset with her. But I just think she could have lived longer on the earth. Are you following what I'm saying? I think she could have been around a few more years and helped her grandkids and her kids. Nobody wants grandma going at 50-some years old. That's way too soon. There's great-grandkids to come. Amen. And they're all going to come over your house and spend the night. And you say, it's good that you've come. It's also good that you go. I used to say about ours, because we'd had six that would come at once. And when they leave, I'd say, Jesus sent the multitudes away. We finally broke it down, brother. We finally got it figured out. Only two at once. You know, unless there was a special circumstance, like mom and dad were going on vacation. If they're just coming just to spend the night, we're only taking two of you. That's what Noah did. Amen. So I'm not any better than Noah. Amen. If he could only handle two critters, I can only handle two of them. Anybody remember this scripture? We use this scripture over the years a lot. Joshua 1:8, where it says, where God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Remember that, Joshua 1:8? It's interesting that he told Joshua that. He said, he told him right before that, he says that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now rise and take these children, the children of Israel, over into the promised land. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given it to you. Amen. See, Dr. Berkeley says this in the Old Testament, you took authority by your foot. In the New Testament, you take it by your mouth. That's right. And so he told Joshua, he said, that you're to go over there and possess the land. But he tells him, if you're going to have success, you're going to have to meditate in the Word. Right? See, there's a lot of believers can't understand why they're not having success. You're not taking the right thing to have success.
Right.
Amen? You know, why did he need to do that? Because, how many know, he's going to face some giants over there. And he has to have his mind renewed to what God says when he faces giants. Or his mind will talk him out of it.
Yeah.
You'll be weary and faint in your mind. If you don't keep your mind full of what God said, you'll end up giving up on what you prayed about. Because if it all came to pass immediately, it wouldn't be an issue. We wouldn't have any problem. But the fact that Jesus said shall can indicate a time. See, he's talking about prayer. He said, what things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Shall doesn't mean immediately. It could mean immediately, and I love it when it is immediately. How many can say amen to that? I like it when you pray, and I've had those times you prayed, and there's no time, though, there it shows up. But I've had more times that I had to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. You know, one thing about baby Christians, young believers, is it's so easy to get them healed, delivered, because not much is required of them yet. I mean, don't require much out of your little kids, right? The babies, right? I mean, what would you think about a parent and you know, they go to the hospital, they have a baby, you go to their house and the baby's not there. You say, where's the baby? Well, if it's at the hospital, I figured it'd come home when it got ready. I mean, they don't need any kids. They're going to lose them if you give them to them. I guess that's not so bad. Mother Mary lost Jesus, so anyway. She turned out okay, all right. That's in your Bible.
It is.
Lost the Son of God. We don't know where he's at. Amen. All right, that's not Parenthood 101. Amen. But a lot of things, you know, you have to fight the fight of faith over. And that's where your mind gets attacked. That's why it's important what you do after you pray is just as important as what you did when you prayed. When you prayed, Jesus said you're supposed to believe you receive it. More than one time he said that, and you shall have it. That's important. But what are you going to do after? You're going to let the devil talk you out of it because it doesn't happen? If things happen overnight, that'd be great. But you know, in little babies, like I said, in the church, I've seen so many things happen over the years to people who just got born again. But after you grow up, God expects you to stand up on your own two feet, find out what the Word says yourself. Are y'all with me now? You know, and you may not believe this, but this happened to me when I first got saved. I had God heal a tooth of mine that had an issue. And I'm just a babe in the Lord. And I was standing on a scripture in Amos that said he would give you cleanness of teeth in all your cities. Cleanness of teeth in all your cities. That's a scripture name. Some of you are like, oh, I never heard that scripture. You've never read the book of Amos. That's why. You got to read it. It's in the book of Amos. You got to read the book of Amos. And so I read that scripture. I found that scripture and cleaned it. And I stood on that and God healed one of my teeth. I'm telling you, I had a supernatural healing. A thing happened. As I grew older, I read that scripture and found out it wasn't talking about a blessing. It was talking about a curse. Your teeth would be clean because there'd be a famine. There's not going to be any chicken stuck between your teeth. You're not going to have anything to eat. But I was just a babe in my pampers, and God said, isn't that cute? He's standing on the scripture, has no idea what it means. Healing is yours. Now, at this age, if I tried to do that, he'd go find another scripture, son. That's not rightly divided. You understand, people don't rightly divide the Word. You get away with it when you're younger, but as you get older, you got to figure out what God really said. You know, like you see this in Christian bookstores, and it's not rightly divided. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are, you know, called according to His purpose. And people say, well, if I get cancer, it's all God working things together for my good. No, you got to read the whole entire context. He's talking about the things that the Spirit of God is doing in your life works together for your good. And you, if you love God, and if you are called according to His purpose, which is purpose? You got to read the next verse. Whom he preordained, he predestined them to be conformed to the image of His Son. So it's while we love God and we're allowing our lives to be changed by God into the image of His Son that all things are working together for our good. It's not just for a coffee cup. Like the little bracelets, the Lord watched between me and thee when we're apart. Everybody gets those. Like, oh, God's watching over. That was between Laban and Jacob so that they didn't cheat one another. It wasn't good. Huh, I got one of those bracelets. I'm going to throw it away. You don't have to throw away, but just realize it's not rightly divided. It was the Lord watched between us, so you don't cheat me and I don't cheat you. Maybe you do need that. I don't know. Amen. Come on, are you with me now? So we have to be mindful. Everybody say mindful. Of His covenant. Mindful means you got to, one of the things it means you got to remember it. You got to recount it. In other words, you got to talk to your, you got to rethink about, recount. What's the covenant say here again? What's it say? What's it say? You got to go find out. Amen. Come on, are you with me? Pastor, where's that scripture that says God helps them that helps themselves? There isn't one. It's folk legend. I had to pray for a guy one time in the hospital. You know, he was having some serious problem. He was missing a kidney. It'd been taken out. And the other one quit working. So that's serious. So I go to pray for him. And I ask him, you know, I said, where do you go to church? He said, oh, just here and there. You know what the Bible says? A rolling stone gathers no moss. You probably better be reading the Bible a little closer than that, brother. That's probably why you're here. That's what he told me. No, I didn't have a seminar. It wasn't the place, the proper time. But boy, I could have said, man, you need to find out what the Bible says. Get yourself in a church. Get you a pastor. Amen. God didn't ordain pastors for you. See, if you're like, well, I don't need the church. Well, why'd God set pastors up? Because He's stupid? They're shepherds. They give an account over your soul. Well, you know, one day the Lord's going to bring you up before me as your pastor. That's what Hebrews says. I must give an account for your soul. And it said, let me do it with joy, not grief. So God's going to ask me, was they a good sheep? And how many know, as much as I might want to fudge a little bit for you, God's going to know the difference. I said, well, Lord, they were pretty good. Watch what you say. Okay, they were unfaithful. How many understand? We need to have our minds full of what God's Word says. See, is there any scripture that says, sometimes it's the will of God to heal and sometimes it's not? Is there a scripture that says that? Have you found that yet? I haven't either. I have found ones where it says Jesus healed them all. I found those scriptures. I have found where Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I haven't found any yet that said some He healed and some He wouldn't. I haven't found those scriptures. Amen. There's a lot of scriptures I have that are preached that people respect those churches more than they respect our church because they think we're off because we believe the Bible. But see, their brains are so fogged up with religion and tradition, they don't know what they're believing isn't even a scripture in the Bible. It's not even in the Bible. And they think because we believe the Bible, we're a little weird. Because most people interpret the Bible based on their
life's experience rather than what it actually said. One man of God said this, most people don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Boy, that's the truth. I hear respected Bible teachers on TV that in a lot of areas are really good, but then there's some areas, the things they're preaching, they're not Scripture. Tongues passed away. Where's the Scripture? I haven't found it. I've been reading, I read in there. I read in there where they shall and have is two different things. It also says prophecies will pass away. Also says knowledge will pass away. Some people's already has. And it tells us when that's going to happen. The Bible says when we see him face to face, we'll know as we are known. We'll know and be known as we are known. She said, well, that it's the Bible. That's what's perfect. Well, the Bible's perfect, but that's not what that scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about that so many churches use to say tongues passed away. There's no scripture for it. Everybody, did you know that Mother Mary spoke in tongues? We had a guy come to when we were in Huntingburg, and I didn't follow his advice whatsoever. He was a minister, respected minister. I still respect him this day. He said, because, you know, in that area, it's pretty Catholic, dominated. So he said, you need to have a seminar on the evils of Catholicism. I said, I'm thinking, that's a good way to get run out on a rail. What you need to do is tell him Mother Mary spoke in tongues. She did? Yes. Okay, I will then. I mean, it's better to come from the positive side than the negative side. If you're going to, you got to give people honey. Amen. Flies like honey. And so I was like, no, thank you. I'm not doing that. I'm not paying attention to that. Amen. And so we had Catholic people to get saved, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Were there things that they believed that we didn't believe? Absolutely. There's things a lot of people believe I don't believe. But the best way to win them, it's like the Lord told Brother Hagin one time. He said, did you notice that the Corinthian church had all those problems? You know, they had a lot of problems. You read Corinth, the book of Corinth, the book of Corinthians. You read that. They had a lot of problems. And, he said, the Lord said to him, he said, did you notice that Paul, even at that, he said, you come behind in no gift, and he commented, and now he did correct some things, but he said some good things to say about them too, didn't he? He said, if it had been you, you would say, you backslidden buzzards, you better get right with God. Brother Ed said, up to that time, that's what I would have said. But how many know there's a way? Amen. Come on, y'all with me? All right, now. So you got to keep your mind full. Anybody say full? Full of the word, full of the covenant. Because why? That's where the attack's going to come from. It's going to come in your mind. Amen. Let's go to Philippians as we get ready to close here. Did you get anything tonight? Yes. Philippians chapter 4. Go there. I'm just talking about after you prayed, you have to guard your mind that the devil doesn't talk you out of it. Because he certainly will try. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything. How many things?
Everything.
Everything. Is God concerned about everything? Obviously he is. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the pastor. No, wait a minute. It says God, doesn't it? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or honorable or noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or power, and if there be anything praiseworthy, think or meditate on these things. So he connects this, what you think, with prayer. In other words, after you've prayed, you got to think the right thoughts. And if thoughts come, you got to police them. If thoughts come and they're not good, they're not honorable, they're not noble, they're not lovely, they're not of a good report, they're not something you would praise about, then cast them out. Pull them down, bringing them to captivity. Because it's the devil trying to drag you over into doubt. You got to keep yourself anchored in the Word. Amen. Deuteronomy 22:9, I want to read it to you. You don't have to go there. It's an Old Testament scripture, but it has some spiritual meaning. It says, "You shall not sow your vineyard with divers or different seeds, lest the fruit of your seed which you've sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled." Now, many of these Old Testament scriptures really had some spiritual significance to them. Just like when Paul said, "You shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn." I mean, the Old Testament says that. Paul took that scripture and applied it to ministers. Don't muzzle the ministers. But in other words, they're worthy of their hire. They're worthy of support. That's what he talked about. So this scripture right here, I pull it out and say, look, you shouldn't allow your life to be sowed with diverse thoughts. Right. Things that you... Now, we know we can't stop thoughts from coming, right? But we don't have to allow them to stay. We don't have to meditate on them and act them out. Brother Hagin used to say like this, a thought that you don't act upon dies unborn. See, you couldn't be tempted without wrong thoughts. Right? Amen. Thoughts need to be policed. And the ones you meditate on, the ones you choose to keep, they have to be the ones that line up with verse 8 of Philippians 4. Because that's connected with prayer. In other words, if you don't watch your prayer life, the devil will steal from you. Amen. He'll put all kinds. You don't have to say what they were, but how many ever had some really goofy thoughts? This was several years ago. I was walking to go take a run, if that makes any sense. But I was actually walking to the place where I was going to run, you know. I mean, this was like 2005, maybe, something like that, or somewhere. Probably around 2000. Anyway, it was a long time ago. Probably around 2000. Anyway, I was going someplace. I was going for a run, and when I walked by, there's this cigarette there on the side of the road. I think it might have been the full throttle thing. You know, I mean, the full thing. Nobody smoked it, dropped it. And I heard this voice say, "Pick it up and smoke it." Because, you know, I used to smoke Winston Lights, you know. And then when I got saved, I quit that. Are you saying I'm going to hell because I'm smoking? No, you're going to the grave. Heaven or hell, I don't know. You have to figure that out. But it'll put you in the grave. I do know that. I know people that's there because they smoked. Serious. I'm not picking on you, you know. So anyway, that was the goofiest thought. But it was, listen, I'm not making this up. I heard it in my head. Pick that up and smoke it. You haven't done this in a long time. Well, I'm going to give you some good news. I didn't pick it up. I didn't smoke it. I just blew that off. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. That's not me. Amen. Amen. I was baptized for the remission of sin. It's remitted in my life. I wasn't baptized for the permission to sin, but the remission of it. So it's remitted. It's not sorry. Don't want that. Don't want any of that. Amen. But it was real. It was a temptation. Well, I mean, the devil can't tempt you if he doesn't put thoughts in your head. What do you think advertisement's for? To put thoughts in your mind. Right? You wasn't even thinking about the cheeseburger until you saw the commercial. You know, there was a billboard in town. It was over on Burkhart years ago, and it said, "The best ribs in Evansville." And I never have made it yet. But boy, I sure was thinking about it. I thought, I'm going to try those ribs, you know. But what? It puts it in your mind. How many of you follow what I'm saying? So you got to understand, thoughts come from different places. They come from the devil. They come from you. They come from what you see in life. But we need to make sure our thoughts come from the Word. And when we have thoughts that don't line up, then we have to bring them into captivity and make them line up. Can you give me one last scripture? And I'll close with this. Go to Luke chapter 8. So you don't want to sow your field with diverse thoughts. You don't want to pray for something and then they're set there and think about and meditate on, well, what if? You don't want to do that. You want to meditate and think about good things. Like what all I'm going to do when this shows up in my life. Look at this in Luke chapter 8. Now, let me say it. Let me give the background before I read this. This is about Jairus. And he was a ruler. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And he had come to Jesus, and he had said to him, "Come, lay your hands on my little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." So that's a request, isn't it? So that's a request. That's a prayer request. And so he has asked him for something, and in the process of time, the woman with the issue of blood shows up, touches his garment, she's healed, testifies, all that's going on. So he stops for a while for this situation with the woman with the issue of blood. And in verse 49, while he's talking to the woman with the issue of blood, it says, "While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.'" I mean, that is as bad as it gets. He's prayed for his daughter to be healed. He gets the news, she's dead. This is going in the opposite direction, isn't it? Anybody ever had that happen before? You pray and it's going the opposite direction. It isn't over. Look what Jesus said. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.'" In other words, don't let the devil steal your prayer, what you asked for. What would have happened if Jairus would have gotten upset and said, "Why did you take so much time for this woman? You let her give her whole testimony. She's had this disease for 12 years. She's talked about every doctor she's been to." How many know? The daughter wouldn't have been raised up. Come on, y'all with me now? Did Jesus tell him what to do? I said, did Jesus tell Jairus what to do? What did he say? "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." What if you fear and you don't believe? She won't be made whole. He just told him how to see that his daughter is made whole. He's asked for it. Now, he just told Jairus how this is going to happen. Even though the bad news has come, if you just believe only, you fear not, you believe only, she's still going to be made whole. Your prayer's still going to get answered. How many know his mind got attacked, didn't it? It had to get attacked. You couldn't get news like that without your mind and your emotions and everything getting attacked. Could you imagine what that would be like if you got this news your daughter had just died? I mean, I don't care who you are. You're going to have the emotions. It's going to hit you because that's just part of your makeup. It's going to hit you. It's going to hit your mind. It's going to hit. But you got to. That's when you got to do something. That's when you got to arrest it and say, "Wait a minute. No, I've prayed. I'm going to fear not. I'm going to continue believing, and it's going to come to pass." You can't let the devil talk you out of it. Have you ever prayed for something and after a while the devil says, "That was a little big"? I mean, that's never the Holy Spirit. Right. I mean, listen. Here's the classic. You know, this goes. You know, years ago we used to teach a lot on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We saw multitudes of people coming out of the denominational churches, baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were getting hungry for God. Right. You know, we had them that get kicked out of their church because they got too on fire. You know. and people were seeking, you know, and they were being rejected by their churches and saying, hey, we don't do that here. That's of the devil. But they knew something. They knew something better. They knew better than that. And so we'd pray for them. And I just remember during those times that sometimes people would get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they'd speak with other tongues and then they'd go home and the devil would start working on them and say, that was just you. That was just you. Well, it wasn't going to be their brother-in-law. I mean, he'll give you utterance, right? You do the speaking. And so, but I told them, I said, look, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell you you didn't receive that. You asked me. Jesus said, if anybody asks the Father for the Holy Spirit, he'll give him to them. You did just exactly that, all right? And you received. Now the Lord's not going to come back and say, that was just you. You got to recognize the voice of the devil, friend. This isn't from God. This isn't producing peace and joy in your life. This is trying to rob a blessing from you. I had the same thing happen to me. After I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was just you. That's just a lie of the devil. I said, that's just a lie of the devil. See, people got, they have these funny ideas like, well, if it's God, I mean, there's going to be a glory ball hit me from heaven. And I've heard these wild stories about people saw lights and stuff like that. Well, okay, well, that's the way Paul got saved, right? How many of y'all got saved? How many of y'all got knocked off your donkey and you had a blinding light from brighter than the noonday sun and blinded you for 3 days? You didn't eat for 3 days. How many had a salvation experience like that? I didn't either. I'm still saved. I've seen people get saved, and I thought, you need to get back down there again because it showed no emotion. I've seen people cry and sling snot, and the next day they're back in the bar. And I've seen people that showed no emotion. I thought, man, let's pray some more. And they're still in church 40 years later. See, it's not based on that. It's based on faith in the Word. And so these people, I prayed for a lady, I'll never forget this. This was at a Pentecost church. God bless them. I love Pentecostal people. But I was at a Pentecost church preaching on a Sunday morning, and I gave this altar call for be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this lady came up. Because you'd get an old Pentecost, and you'd find some we've been seeking for 30 years. It's like, look, if you haven't found Evansville after 30 years, you're on the wrong road, brother. Just use some common sense here. What you're doing, what you've been taught, what you're doing, it's not working. Because it isn't that difficult. The Lord said, now go to Jerusalem and wait for 30 years. And the only reason he told them to tarry is because the Holy Spirit hadn't been sent yet for that. But they were terriers. And so I laid hands on her. I had her pray, you know, a simple prayer to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I laid hands on her. And she starts speaking in tongues. But the whole time she's speaking in tongues, she's shaking her head, no, 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 this can't be real. I didn't see any light. I didn't have any glory ball. I didn't tarry. It just can't be. I don't know whether she continued on with the experience or not after that, but I certainly know she was listening to the wrong voice. It can't be that easy. It's called faith. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.